الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan Ayameen. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith, or Islamic faith. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or are new students to the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. I want to talk about gift or gift giving. A lot of us receive gifts and we may appreciate it, we may not appreciate it, or people just give to us. We don't give anything to them. And so I'm going to look at the various aspects of gift giving, the good and the bad regarding it, and then hopefully you will learn something from that, and maybe it will increase you in giving gifts to other people. Instead of always being a recipient of a gift, you'll be the one that will give the gift to other people. And that's what I'm hoping, that it will be encouraging. This particular class would encourage you to do so, that we become more gift givers. Even if you just have a little bit, you can give of that little bit that you have if you can afford to do so and won't take away from your family. For example, if you have a dollar, and I think American dollar or pound or real or wherever you are, and you give half of that. So you give half of that to someone else, and it's a form of a gift to that individual, because they may not have anything at all. You have one, so you give them half of what you have, or a quarter of what you have, or something like that. You have four people, maybe give them a quarter each from the dollar, whatever that you have. And it's all about gift giving. You don't expect anything in return, but sometimes you'd be surprised that it may come back to you in return, whatever you give out to other people. And so let me tell you the difference between charity and gift giving. Basic definition of charity is giving to the poor and the needy to meet their needs. It is done with the intention of seeking the pleasure of Allah. This intention is not limited to a specific person. Rather, it is giving to any poor or needy person. Now, that's charity. Now, the definition of a gift, or giving of a gift. A gift is not necessarily given to a poor person. Rather, it may be given to rich or poor. The intention is to show friendship and to also honor the recipient, or the person that you're giving it to. That's all that you're doing. In Islam, when a person gets married, say for example, I'm going to marry a woman, then what happens is I give him a dowry or mar, and that's like a gift to her from me. I don't expect anything from her in return. It's just that I'm giving to her this gift, and it's part of the requirements or the criteria for a person getting married. Of course, one of them is that you get the dowry when you're getting married. And then the other one is that you have witnesses there, at least two witnesses there. And then the last part is is also, of course, you, the person is asking and saying, yes, I will marry you. I say, oh, so-and-so, will you marry me? And then she says, yes, I will marry you. She could say no. She has the option to say, like, no way, I'm not going to marry you. And that is her option to do so. And that is her option in terms of the gift giving, which is a dowry, which is D-O-W-E-R, that Amar, M-A-H-R, it's basically the same thing, and that you're giving this gift or the dowry to the individual. It doesn't go to her father or her mother or her brother or uncle or any male relative or anyone like that, a female relative. That gift or that dowry goes to her, and that's one of the criteria for getting married. And I know it's not necessarily the subject, but I always try to advise women to get your dowry up front. Because a man may change his mind later on and say, I'm not giving you anything. Or he may be a nice guy, whatever, and he give you what he owes. Because it's a debt that he owes to you. And so I say to women, don't defer it. To get your dowry up front. Get your mar up front. And then that's it. And then you, inshallah, you and him, inshallah, will start off happy like that. But you also, may be a thing where you may have you may feel some kind of way because the man has not given you the dowry and it's been years. And as of yet, so you got married to him, he has not given you a dowry. And so you may feel some kind of way, or Shaitan may create something within you that you're going to not like this man, despise this man because he never gave you this dowry. And a man may have a thing, have control of you, and he hasn't given you the dowry. I'm not going to get a dowry. And now he's already, I guess, bitten off the apple and been into you and been with you in a sexual way, but he refuses to give you the dowry for whatever decision that he make, or whatever reason he has for not getting a dowry. He would not get a dowry to you. But I'm going to come back to the original thing, which is of gift giving. And so you have good regarding gift giving, and we have bad regarding gift giving. So let's look at the good regarding gift giving. It is said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, exchange gifts, as that will lead to increasing your love to one another, or sometime might be for one another. And so you want to increase the love between you, your brother, you and your sister, then inshallah you change the gift. We are encouraged during that. We had Eid Day, we had two Eids, two celebrations, and one at the end of Ramadan, and one for the sacrifice of Abraham was going to do to his son, Ibrahim was going to do for his son. So those are times, our two Eids, our two big celebrations, if you will. And so during that time, it's encouraged to give gifts to your family or to non-family members. Some people just give gifts to their family, or some people may give gifts to their family and also to their non-family members. Some people during one of the Eids, during the sacrifice, they may give as a gift to the poor or to their neighbor. They may give some of the meat that they slaughtered to their poor or to their neighbor. And that's one of the things that encourage to give some of the meat that you slaughter to others as a gift, not expecting nothing in return. They don't even thank you for it. Okay, they don't thank you for it, but they can if they want to. But it's also a gift that you're giving to the individual. And let's move on. It was related by Abu Huraira, who was one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. He said that the Prophet or Allah's Messenger, may peace and blessings upon him, he said, forbidden to certain things, and then he made a mention of certain habits and said, he who gives a she camel as a gift, and then he went on, for him is a reward of the gift, both morning and evening, a reward of drinking milk in the morning and a reward of drinking milk in the evening. So a person get that gift. I give a she camel to a person, or something that's going to benefit them, I get some benefit from it too. And so you have to think about the era, the time, where the Prophet, peace be upon him, so use what example that people could best understand during that time. Our time right now, we may use something else for the example, but we're, like, say, for example, a car. Okay, I give a person a car for a gift, and they use it for whatever way they're going to use it, taking their family back and forth to work, to the store, or anything like that. Then, of course, I get the rewards from that. So during the time of the prophet, peace be upon him, he was talking about a she camel as a gift. And so they give a she camel, and so that everyone gets a reward from that. And I gave the she camel to my friend, and then I would get the reward of the milk that they drank in the day, during the morning time, and the milk they drank in the afternoon. So that's basically what this particular hadith of saying the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and Allahu a'lam, and Allah knows best. And I want you all to keep this in mind. The performer must have the intention of performing an act on behalf of a deceased. A person dies and you want to make intention to do something on their behalf. Because the person is dead, basically the book is closed for them. They cannot basically do anything after that. They're in the ground. There's some things that they benefit them while they're in the ground. If they have a child that prays for them, that benefit them. Any charity that they're given, that benefit them. Anyone that they taught, that benefit them while they're in their grave. And here, you want to benefit them. You're the one alive, and they are the ones that are, and they are the ones that deceased and ones that are dead. So, okay, so how do you benefit them? Ibn Akil said, if one perform any act of obedience, for example, a prayer, fasting, or a recitation of Quran, and made its reward a gift to a deceased Muslim, the deceased will receive the reward for it, provided that he has a prior intention of making it for the benefit of the deceased. And the act and the intention go together. So this was reported or said by Ibn Akil, and he said about this particular thing, you're doing it strictly for this individual that is dead because they can no longer do anything for themselves because their book is now closed. They have the period, the dot, in terms of their life. They cannot do anything. So I'm going to say, okay, this individual died, and so I'm going to do such and such for them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to fast for them or on their behalf. I'm going to recite on their behalf. I'm going to, for example, I'm going to go on Hajj. And a person had not did their Hajj. And that's what, and then I mentioned that in another earlier episode or class. They're going to perform Hajj on their behalf. What you should do, according to some scholars, they said you should perform Hajj for yourself first. Then you perform Hajj for another individual or with other people and that kind of thing. And so, for example, I perform Hajj for myself, but I can't perform Hajj, for example, for my brother who died and didn't make Hajj. I can't perform Hajj for him, but I could if I haven't made Hajj for myself. So I make Hajj for myself first, then I can go to next year and then make Hajj for my brother or my sister who died, who are Muslim. And so here, my intention, my niyyah, will be to make prayer or to fast or read Quran or even giving something on their behalf. They benefit from this particular thing that I'm doing. It's a gift from me to them, the person who is deceased or person who is, of course, who is dead. Also, the Prophet, may peace and blessings upon him, he said, the gift of a believer is death. I know people probably can't get with that one, but it says the belief of a gift of a believer is death. And so for us as Muslims, we cannot be afraid to die because we can't go to heaven, and some people may end up in hell in the state that we're in right now. Death is the only way that we get to basically to the other side of Barzakh. That's the only way. That's the only way that we our soul would be, go before Allah, and not our bodies would go before Allah. Our soul would go for Allah. Kulli nafsum that equal to maut. Every soul will have a taste of death. We know when, where are we going to die, or where are we going to die, but so are we going to die. Each and every one of us, myself and anyone that listening to our voice or to my voice, we are destined to die. It's just mashallah, it is what it is. Allah, that's what Allah has prescribed for us, that we die and then we go before Allah on the day of judgment and we get judged accordingly. So for us as Muslim, we don't wish for death. We don't wish for death upon our families. But for us, the death is a gift to us, and we should not be afraid to die. We don't be foolish and jump in front of the traffic or in front of a train or anything like that, or stab ourselves up or shoot ourselves in the head because we're not afraid to die. No, that's not what we do. Suicide is against the Islamic principles, and so if a person commits suicide, they will continue to do that act that will be in the hell or in the grave. So shooting yourself, cutting your wrist, jumping in front of a car, those kind of things, committing suicide, this is something that the Muslims are not allowed to do. But the thing is, we die of natural causes, then we just die in that way, the way Allah have already written for us to die, then we die. But this death is a gift to us. Some Muslims during the battles, they would once they learned that they're going into battle, they would die and they would be like inside these like green birds in paradise and all these beautiful things that happen to a person because they die fi sabilillah and they go die jihad, fighting in the cause of Allah. Some brothers will have a date near their mouth. And they would throw the date on the ground because that would take time from them going to the meet, in other words, to meet their death, to fight, not to die, but to fight in the cause of Allah. If death befalls them, all right, then death befalls them. One brother, he's a very, very strong brother in fighting for the cause of Allah, and he was one of the leaders of the Muslim fighting against the Muslims at first, but then he became a Muslim fighting for the Muslim. Great brother. I won't go into his name and that thing right now. It's not important, but he died, and basically in his bed, he had scar. Part of his body that didn't have marks from when he went into battle, but he died in his bed, and he was a great warrior of Islam. Like I said, I won't go into his name and go into his history, that kind of thing. But that's the way he died. He fought fi sabilillah. He prepared to die in Allah's cause, but Allah had another plan for him to die, and that was in his bed and not on the battlefield, where he fought so much against Muslims and then for Muslims, and he did not die in the battle, but he died in the bed. And that, I won't get into his name right now, that's not important at this time, but you can read it for yourself. I'll even make that homework for you, that you read for yourself, find out, okay, which one of the companions of the prophet that he died in this manner. So that'll be your homework to do, to look it up, to ask your fellow Muslims, to go to the masjid and ask the leadership there, the imam and others, okay, who was this person? That and explain to them the way I explained to you, and let them say to you what this person was, and then they may explain to you other companions like him and the manner in which they died. But we're talking about gift of death, and this man, he didn't have the gift of dying in the cause of Allah like that, fighting in the battle, but he did have the gift of life when he did finally die in his bed. And so I'm going to move on now. And so also, it was mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him. And then he said, Abu Huraira said, about the Prophet, he said, O Muslim women, none of you shall look down upon the gift sent by her neighbor, even if it is or were the trotters of the sheep. Meaning the fleshly part of the sheep, the leg of the sheep that doesn't have any flesh on it. Even with that, you have to still have an appreciation from your neighbor giving that to you. You may say, man, why are you giving this to me? This thing, I can't really do nothing with it, but maybe put it in soup or something like that. Why are you giving this to me? And so even with that, we should have appreciation of this particular gift from our neighbor. It was narrated by Aisha, may Allah anha, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon her. And she was the prophet's wife, one of his wives. And she said, I said, O Allah's messenger, I have two neighbors. Which of them shall I give a gift to? The prophet said, give the gift to the ones whose door is nearer to you. And so he kind of tell her or laid out to her, she had a dilemma. Look, I had two neighbors. Okay, which do I give to? And he said, okay, give it to the one whose door is nearer to your door or nearer to you. And still she could also give to the other neighbor she wanted to. But she wanted to know, okay, which one did I give it to? Which one had a priority that I give it to? So he said the one that had the nearest door to you. And so I just, and this was her asking her husband about gift giving. Okay, and who has priority of gift giving? Who should I give the gift to first? Also, it was narrated by Anas, Ibn Malik, the son of Malik. He said, Allah's apostle said, there's none amongst the Muslims who plants a tree or sows a seed, and then a bird or a person or an animal eats from it, but is regarded as a charitable gift for him. So, in other words, if you plant a tree, and that tree grows, and the birds nest in it, or eats from it, or we get shade from it, or animals eat from it, anything like that, we benefit from it. We as human beings benefit from it, and it's like a charitable gift that we give. If I die and I plant trees all over the place, anyone that benefits from it, any animal, anyone that benefits from the shade, animals benefit from the shade, or human eats from it, or animals eat from it, anything like that, I benefit from that while I'm in my grave. Or my family plants trees on my behalf while I'm in my grave. I benefit from that. It's a charitable gift that I keep giving, one of those gifts that keeps on giving. I taught someone Quran and they teach someone else Quran. Or I taught someone how to pray and then they pray and they teach someone how to pray or anything like that. Or I help someone understand Islam, they come into Islam. I benefit from them without taking anything from them at all or diminish their prayer or their gift giving or anything like that. I still benefit from that. And so it says here, and it encourages us to plant trees. Yes, we are about ecology. We are about saving the planet. And Muslims are about planting trees where the planet benefits from it, and also humanity benefits from it. I want to move on from here. It is also mentioned by one of the prophets, Prophet Muhammad's companions, he said, Anas never used to refuse a gift of scent and used to say that the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, never used to refuse a gift of scent. If someone wants to give you scent, meaning perfume or oil or something like that, okay, then you accept it like as he did, the Prophet did. He loved to put the oil on himself and smell good like that. And so this is something that the men can do and give scent and receive scent. It is also mentioned that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be blessed upon him, he enjoined responding to kind of favors, or someone do something favorable to you or kind to you. He says, whoever does you a favor, respond in kind. And if you cannot find the means of doing so, then keep praying for him until you think that you have responded in kind. Say you don't have anything to give to the person, you're broke, whatever, and then you pray for the individual. You raise your hand up and you pray for him or her, whoever gave that gift to you. Oh Allah, forgive them. Oh Allah, this. Oh Allah, that. Forgive their sins, their major sins, their minor sins, the sins that people know about, the sins that people do not know about. Keep going and going and going until you feel satisfied within yourself. Okay. I have given him basically the same weight that the kindness that they gave to me, I have given to them. And that's a judgment call on your part as to you can't give them the same kind of gift they gave to you, but you can at least pray for this individual. Now let's go to and looking at the bad regarding gifts. And so it's kind of a short list, but I'm going to relay these to you. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, it is not lawful for a man to make a donation or give a gift and then take it back, except a father regarding he gives his child. One who gives a gift and then takes it back is like a dog which eats vomit when it is full and then returns to it. I know it sounds a little not good to you, nasty, but I'm going to give you a little more details about that in this next hadith. And it says, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, the similitude of one who takes back what he's gifted is like a dog which vomits, throws up, and then eats the vomit. Then, when a donor seeks to take back his gift, it should be made known, and he informs why he sought to take it back. Then whatever he's donated shall be returned to him. And so we had two things going on here. One is that a person who gives a gift and take it back is like a dog who throws up and then eats what he threw up. Okay, not like a penguin who eats something and then they throw up. That's how they feed their children. You can always look that up too. That's part of the animal kingdom. But if this is like a person, it's a bad part. It's a person who take their gift back that they donated. They eat something like a dog eating something, like a dog that eats something and then eat that thing back that and they throw it up and they eat that thing that they threw up. And then we have, but on the other side, it also said a person who donates for whatever reason and asks for that gift back, and then you return that gift back to the person. And Allah knows best about if the first part I said applies to them or not. I'm not even going to touch that at all. And the last one I want to mention to everybody is that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he said, it is not permissible for a woman to present a gift from her husband's property except with permission of her husband. Basically, I understand from this, Allah knows best, is that a woman, my wife, can't really go into my pocket and take money from me to give a gift from someone else without my permission. And so I'm going to give that example for right now of what she cannot do, because she's taking my property basically and giving it to someone else. If you want to give her property, that is her right to do. She don't need my permission to do that. That is her right. But to take some of my property and give it to someone else, basically she needs my permission. And again, you go to the masjid and ask the imam or the leadership there to explain this particular hadith more to you. And that could be, again, part of your homework, like I mentioned to you about going to the masjid and asking about the companion that fought in the battles against Muslims and for Muslims, but died with had all these wounds all over in place and all over his body, but he died on his bed and not on the battlefield. And so he had the gift of death, but not the gift of dying, fighting for the cause of Islam. You had the situation here, is that asking even the imam or the leadership about the woman and gift, about her giving from her husband's property without asking permission, or that she had to ask for permission, and they should clear it up for you more. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said again, it is not permissible for a woman to present a gift from her husband's property except with permission of her husband. And I'm going to stop there because now you know about the difference between charitable giving and a gift giving, and what gift giving is all about, the bad gift giving and the good gift giving, and these things you know about giving gift. Receiving gift, if easy, at least say thank you. But sometimes for people, it's hard for them to give gift. They want to give anything to anyone else because it takes from their wealth, takes from their property. But don't be that kind of individual. And you never know. Allah may pay that back to you many, many different ways. I had a sister said to me, she said that she spent $200 in giving a gift to an individual. And matter of fact, that same day, someone gave her a gift of $200. She didn't do it for that intention, but she turned around and got the blessing from Allah that she gave the gift to someone of $200 and Allah returned that $200 back to her. She wasn't expecting it. She returned that $200 back to her because someone gave her the gift of the $200. So you don't give it to before Allah returns to you. We may wait for that and get disappointed because Allah never returned my money back to me. No, that's not the niyyah or intention for giving. Give. You just give it of the freeness of your heart. That's the only reason you're giving gift. For the pleasure of Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah. To find out more, to learn more about Islamic faith and increase your knowledge about what I talk about today and your knowledge about Islam, you can go to White Islam and also the International Online University. Find out information from them. And also you can go to American Open University. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Ayameen. I want to thank you very much for listening. And inshallah, by the will of Allah, you have a great day.